I'm self-deprecating for a lot of times. You know, like when I tell you that I go hiking with Steve, I make it sound like I'm about to die on the trail. That may be true, but for the most part, I'm really not. I enjoy getting out in nature. I want to show you some pictures of nature. For example, when we are walking out, this is Blue Ridge, and I guess it gets its name because if you see, wait, go back. What are you doing? Yeah, there. You see the pictures of the mountains in the back, how they're kind of blue-ish. I guess maybe that's how it gets that name. But up in the mountains, I love when we get there and we just stop for a minute and we look out and see this grand view. I mean, you can't even really tell by the picture, but it's just beautiful. Okay, now you go to the next picture. 2 miles into a hike, Steve and I came across this this particular waterfall here. We thought, like, man, this is awesome. But the only way to see it is to go like 2 miles up and around and everything up, down, around, going crazy, walking over creeks and stuff. And then you can't really tell from here, but this waterfall was actually really, really beautiful, magnificent. You hear the water running, and it's just a time where you just stop for a minute and you say, like, man, God is good. Then the next one, we went to a place called Skiddy Creek. And Skiddy Creek, on the where the water was coming down, you could see where it was so cold that there were icicles formed on some of the things. And it's just amazing that you had this running water, you had these icicles, and it's like, golly, it's just beautiful. Then we went out west on a motorcycle trip a few years back. You remember that? We ended up ending it with a bang. This road here is called Beartooth Highway, and it's only open for just a couple months every year. It's between Utah and Montana. And it's like one of the highest elevation roads, and it closes real early. It's a bunch of switchbacks. It's great on a motorcycle. We started at the bottom in short sleeve shirts, about halfway up, had to put on our leather chaps and our jackets. When we got to the top, actually, there were people pulled off to the side having snowball fights because there was snow up there. It was pretty awesome. But you can see all of the mountains up there, and you just stop for a minute, and you catch your breath and say, wow. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to go skiing with my family, and I remember first off just praying I could get off of the ski lift, you know, without falling and embarrassing myself. But I got up, and I got off the ski lift, and I went over to a place, and I just stopped for a minute. And I saw the snow-capped mountains all around, and over here and over there, just everywhere. And it was like, man, this is awesome. The majesty of God. And in those moments, you feel small. You feel insignificant. And I didn't want to take a picture. I really didn't want to ski. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to stand there for a moment and just breathe this in. Sometimes when Steve and I are hiking, he says, man, I found this new trail. I want to try it out. We'll do something. We'll get to a point. And it's like, you know what? Can we just stop for a minute? This is beautiful. I mean, when we found that one waterfall, it was like, we just got to stop here for a minute. And then when you take a picture, it doesn't even capture the idea of what of the grandeur of God's beauty. I remember, you know, going down to Florida one time when Lena was just so small, and we were driving, and she started screaming in the back seat, and we're like, what's going on? And we turned around, and she was going, look. And you looked outside, and you saw the sunset. And just the different colors of the sky. Now, I could have explained to her, well, you know, with the pollution that we have, it changes the colors, and that creates the different things. But I didn't, you know, it's like, this is beautiful. And then you go down to Florida, and you get a postcard of the thing, and it's like, okay, it's a nice little picture, but it's not the big picture that God gives for us, is it? Some of us need to learn to connect with God. God is like this postcard God that we have, that we, oh yeah, he's there, he's done all these things, but we just have this snapshot of who he is instead of this large picture of who God really is. So who is God? I want you to turn in your Bibles and follow along with me. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 8. And the Psalms really are songs. This was like the Hebrew songbook back in the day. This one was written by David. And it says this at the beginning, it's not even up on the screen, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. We're not sure what a Gittith is, if it's an instrument or if it's a tune. It's in two other are three other psalms, the Gittith. But this is a psalm of praise. Look at this at the beginning. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Look at that again. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how big is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And I want you to look at that. Look at, you see the word Lord, the first Lord, how it's capitalized, but the capital letters are a little lower. And then the other Lord is just like Lord with small letters, right? That means two completely different things. He's not just saying, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. He's saying this. The first Lord there is God's personal name that he gave to Israel. There were no vowels, so officially it would have been Yah, Yod, He, Vah, He. We get the word Yahweh. The other Lord is the word Adonai, which means Lord or Master. So what David is saying here, oh God, oh Yahweh, our Master, oh God, our Lord, is what he's saying here. Oh God, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set it above the heavens. And we see how big and glorious God's majesty really is. And he sets his name above that. See, we've lost, I think, the wonder and the majesty of God. If you were to ask me, hey, Paul, look out your window. What would you say? I run at about 100 miles an hour. I'm running like this. I think all of our lives, we run like this most of the time. If you were to say that, I'd say, I don't know what's outside my window, a tree, grass. This week, as I was studying this, I spent a few moments where I would stop, and I would look out my backyard window. We have this picture window, and I'm looking out, and I guess the Jonesboro Cardinals got their name because there are a lot of red cardinals in Jonesboro. And there was one sitting like up on the tree here, and it was beautiful. And then I know they're not supposed to be really good or anything, but there were a couple chipmunks in our backyard. I try to run them to Cassandra's house but they keep coming back, so I think they're running them back to us. But there were some chipmunks. I had this red cardinal. I had these little tiny birds. I don't know what they were. You know, and they were just kind of hopping all around. And then I had those dang squirrels. But here comes a squirrel down through there. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, my yard is alive. You know, it's filled with life. It's filled with wonder. It's filled with all of this goodness and beauty. And for the most part, I'm running like this, and I just miss it. Margie and I would, when I was a choral director, we would have down in Savannah, Georgia, most of the time down there would be our Allstate. And we would go down there, and Savannah is an art town. You know, the Savannah Art School is down there. And so there are a lot of artists all over Savannah. And Margie and I would like to go through, like, the stalls, and we'd look at some of the art. And some of the art was so amazing that we said, man, we got to have that. And we would talk to the artist, and we'd get the inside of the picture, and we would say, man, this is awesome. And we would buy that picture, and we hung up that picture, and now it just hangs and collects dust in our house. We've lost the wonder of it because our life continues to move forward somewhere else. We don't stop long enough to say, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth, because we lose the majesty of the earth, his creation. I'm just going to talk about two points today. I want us to look, and I want us to think. That's it. And yes, I've been to seminary, and that's about the best I could come up with some points today. Look and think, okay? But you get what you pay for, I reckon, you know? And so this is it. Look. Just stop and look. Turn over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 oftentimes has been referred to as the two Bibles. They're two separate Bibles. There is God's Word, and then there is God's world, how God reveals himself. He reveals himself through his Word. I'm in Psalm 19, but I'm going to start in verse 7. And you're going to see the fancy word for this is Hebrew parallelism. And what happens here is you're going to see what God says, and then how it's good for us. So what he says, and then what it does, okay? You're going to hear a lot of words like law, testimony, precepts, commandments, fear, rules, Okay, these are the word of God. So we're going to pick it up in verse 7. Listen to this. The law of the Lord is perfect. You see that Lord again? It's the law of Yahweh. The law of God is perfect. And what about it? It revives the soul. His law is perfect, and it revives the soul. The second one, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, it endures forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, listen to this, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. God's word is more precious than gold. Then listen to this, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. His word, how he reveals himself to us, is more desirable than gold and more sweeter than honey. That's how God reveals himself primarily, right? Through his word. But God also reveals himself through his world. We used to sing a song from the hymnals when I was growing up. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round him brings the... Round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. But anyway, I used to know it. But when we lose a lot of theology when we lost the old hymns, so we need to start bringing some of those old hymns back. But it talks about all of nature. All of nature, how nature sings out to our God. So let's go back to Psalm 19, and let's pick it up at the beginning. This is the creation. We talked about how God's word, he's revealed through his word, but how is he revealed through creation? Listen to this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, Barashit bara Elohim et hashamayim vaharetz et hashamayim. In other words, we're talking about God created in the beginning the heavens, hashamayim. Here's the same thing. The hashamayim, the heavens declare what he created. It declares the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words whose voice is not heard, and their voice goes out through all of the earth, and the words to the end of the world. Everything that God has created cries out his glory, cries out his majesty. Creation reflects the character and the very nature of God. Everything that we see in creation, we see his power. Go ahead into the next picture. We see, this is Niagara Falls. I've been there. This doesn't look all that big right here, you know, this part. But when you're on that little boat, it's loud, it's big, it's huge, it's powerful. I mean, you can walk behind it, and you get a sense of how mighty and powerful. And that's just Niagara Falls, and that's just small falls. That's not like Victoria Falls, where Victoria Falls, you know, it's Niagara Falls. It's beautiful, and you see the power of God, but you also intimately see God's nature. Look at the next picture. I think about, look at the little flowers there. This is on the island of Capri, looking down on the Mediterranean, and you see the flowers. And we think about how perfect nature really is. We think about how intimate God has created things. Just by speaking, these things were created. I think about even the plants. You know, this is macro. We're looking out saying like, man, God, what you've created is beautiful. But let's get micro for a moment. Okay, let's get micro. If you look at the flower on the outside, you see this perfection. You see something that's beautiful. I mean, why do we look at something like that and say, man, that's beautiful? Why do we look at a sunset and say, that's beautiful? Why do we look at the mountains and say, that's beautiful? It's because God has beauty and God has order in his nature. As we start to go micro into the flower, think about this. The cells of the flower, they contain these little things called chloroplast, which holds chlorophyll. And the chlorophyll, what it does, it's just this one little thing here, but it takes nutrients from the soil. It takes the sun, energy from the sun. It also takes other things from water. And what it does, it turns into a starch. And that starch releases what's called carbon dioxide and puts it out into the air, I think. So anyway, without the plant, do you realize without the plant, we could not survive? We could not live. One of two things will happen. Number one, if all of the plants were gone, we'd either just have barren desert and we'd eventually not have anything to eat, or two, we wouldn't be able to breathe. Because the plants and the trees send off the things that we need to be able to breathe. Is that happened just on its own? No, this was put together by a God who first thought this and then put it into motion. This is the God that we serve, not a God that just says, okay, I created you guys. Go out and do whatever you're going to do. Just don't try to mess it up. God had his hand in all of this from the very, very beginning. And sometimes we need to just stop and we need to lose ourselves in God. It's good to feel small every now and then. You know, we live our lives where we've got to be in charge, that we've got to do this and that and this and that, and we run at this crazy pace. It's good to stop and say, you know what? I am not God. God, I need you. God, I want you. God, there are times I say, like, why aren't you answering? When all I have to do is look around and I see your fingerprint everywhere in my life. In nature, in creation, in the families, in all of these things. It's good to feel small. Creation helps us to feel small. Psalm 148 says this, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. We don't just praise God. The sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the trees, everything praises God. In Isaiah, the prophet said this, for you shall go out in joy and be led in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and out of the trees of the field they shall clap their hands. Oh, well, that's just an image. You know, he's just giving an image. You know what? Jesus said this when they said, tell your disciples to quit, praising and everything. He says this in Luke. He says, I'll tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out. And Jesus wasn't just making an alliteration. Jesus was saying, man, if you're quiet and you're not going to praise me, my creation sure is. Because everything that was created, we see this in Colossians, everything that was created through him and by him. And it praises him. And if we're not going to do our job and praise him and magnify him and glorify him, then nature will. Nature will. Turn back to Psalm 8. Okay, we got through verse 1. I'll quickly go through the rest of this. Verse 2, out of the mouths of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of, see that? Out of the mouth of babies and infants. Show that next picture. That's Ridge. That's my little Ridge, okay? I was present at the birth of my three kids, and I had to sit down in a waiting room for, I don't want to be in there with my daughter while she's, having a baby. But even Philip was probably the most, let's say he was the closest I got, because I'm standing there going, okay, the head is there, and the doctor's over there, and the nurse is over there getting stuff ready, and the doctor's over there going, okay. I said, no, the head is, okay, don't open that package because he's already out. I ain't paying for that, And so, and Margie's like, they said, hey, do you want to cut the cord? And Margie's like, don't let him cut the cord. It's like, okay, I don't want to cut the cord, but someone's got to help me. I'm not used to this. But those are moments that are intimate. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you believe But in those moments, you understand how great God is. Because here's the thing. Inside of Margie is this baby. Now, you can argue, well, it's just a fetus, or you could call it whatever, but it is alive. Okay? And it's in this amniotic sac that is protecting the baby so that when Margie starts getting crazy, the baby's still protected, you know? And the baby is being nourished and everything, but then as soon as the baby is born, it takes its first breath, and it has 10 fingers and 10 toes, and it's got 2 eyes and 2 ears and everything, and it comes out, and it's perfect, and you say, like, that's nothing I could have come up with. That's nothing Margie could have come up with, that God knew my children in the womb. And so, you know, this the whole abortion thing, I don't get, because I'm there, and I saw it, and I experienced it. I mean, Margie did all the work, don't get me wrong, but I was there. I was there. And if you forget your apologetics and someone starts to debate, well, there's not really a God, and you forget your verses and you forget, well, how are you going to do it? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to invite a baby. You know, have a baby there, or have a woman that's pregnant come, or better yet, have a woman that's pregnant having a baby right there and let them experience that. But that's probably not a good idea. But they can understand that this is just isn't something on paper. This isn't just something. This is a life that God gives. And more than that, if you go back to Genesis, Genesis says this. He says, let us make man in our image. We are the very image of God himself. We're the very image of God himself. And we're born. I'm amazed at his birth. Psalm, going on, 8, 3 and 4. I told you I have to move quickly, but I'm just excited about this. When I look at your heavens, Hashamayim, the work of your fingers, I see the moon and the stars which you have set into place. And then listen to this. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? You talk about humility. Show that next picture. Look at this. Out west, we can't really see this many stars where we're at. We have like light pollution. So, you know, we may see some bright stars. But when we were out west, this is what the sky looked like. And you could see all of this stuff. If you could see a bright thing there, and I'm like, what is that? And Tony's like, oh, man, that's the space station, or that's a satellite, or what's that? He goes, you know, that's this. And I'm like, man, this. I'm like a little kid. What's that? What's that? What's that? You know, I asked Steve, I said, what's that? He goes, that's the Millennium Falcon. You know, I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? You know, and over there's the Death Star, Paul. Then I realized that, you know, they're making fun of me, but this is the skies. And God knows the name of every single one of those stars. He put them there. You talk about feeling small? Thinking that you are the God of the world, that you are in charge of everything that's going on in your life? No, there is a God that is bigger and greater than any of us. And he's in charge. And he's in control. We have to just get out of the way. I love the fact that we are made in his image. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And this is what he says. And then let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and of the birds and the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God gave us a specific stewardship to do. So what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man, that you even care for him, God, with all of this other stuff and going on? Yet, because we're made in his image, listen to this, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. That's the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. He's crowned you. You are the crown of God's creation. And you have put all things under his feet. This isn't just from David. This comes from Genesis. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. All of that is for us. Not to abuse, but to be stewards over, to take care of. That's the majesty of God. That's who we want to connect with. And when we come to ourselves and we say, you know what, I just don't feel God, I just don't get it, stop and look. And then think that this was made by God. And this was made by God for His pleasure, but for your pleasure. God is God. He loves you and He takes care of you. And so if we find ourselves in that moment where we just find ourselves so small and insignificant, we cry out to God and say, oh God, then we close the same way that David closed. Look at verse 9. O Lord, O Yahweh, O God, our Lord Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us of the times where our eyes go to ourselves and we make ourselves to be the rulers of our life, where we think we're in control of all the situations and everything that happens. Father, we find ourselves messing things up and then crying out for you to come and fix it. Father, we're just like little children. But Father, remind us that we are your children and you are our Father. And I pray that every single one of us would go out and have a Psalm 8 moment today where we just stop and we look and we think about all of the things that you have done. And we see your fingerprints in all of creation all around us. And as we see that, Father, help us to feel your presence and your hand and your spirit in our very lives today. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.